I'd like to read now from 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says, "Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication. And they said, It is false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel." The main expression that's on my heart is the question that was asked of Jehu in the 11th verse when the servant said to him, "Is all well? Is all well?" If I were to ask you tonight, is all well with you? Is it well with you? Is all well with you? What would your response be, I wonder? Just think. Don't answer out loud, but just think. If God were to ask you, is it well with you? How would you say? What would you say? Is all well? Not just are some things well, but is all well with you? The songwriter that we just read and sang the songwriter makes it clear that all things don't have to be going in a way that's pleasing to us for all to be well with us. In other words, we can be in the middle of the storms that we tried to look at earlier today, in the storms and the problems and the dark times of life, even in those dark times, we can sing and say and feel, if God will be with us, we can say, it is well with my soul. That's what the writer of the song said. He says, though Satan, in the second verse that we sang, he says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. And because of that, the songwriter said, that I can say it is well with my soul. There are some basic things that if the people of God will keep those things in their mind and in their heart and in their soul, if there are some things that I will concentrate on, if there are things that are true that I will meditate on, then my soul can be happy regardless of the condition of my body. Our bodies can be going through great pain and trouble, and there can be all kinds of family problems, there can be world problems, there can be economic problems, there can be all kinds of trouble, and yet the child of God that feels the presence of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that child of God can say at any point in time, regardless of the troubles, he can say, all is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Again, I want you to understand that if you're going to decide how happy you are, or if you're going to decide whether your soul is well based on what you have, your life is going to fall apart. You cannot, as a child of God, you cannot base your joy and your happiness on the circumstances and conditions that are in your life. Sometimes people say, how are you doing? And some people say, well, pretty good under the circumstances. I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that a child of God ought not to respond in such a way. That it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we ought not to be under the circumstances. We ought not to be depressed and discouraged, but rather, if we can just feel God's presence, we can say, no matter what our condition is in life, we can say, all is well. It is well with my soul. Regardless of everything else going on, it is still well with my soul. Now, there are things that I believe we can do that will result in it being well with our soul. I want us tonight to look at the Word of God and see that there are things that the Bible of God teaches that if we do those things, it will be well with our soul. Let's begin by looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Go forward in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I want you to notice verses 12 and 13. Look now at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. The scripture here says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. There are many people that don't believe you ought to fear God. The Bible tells us plainly that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus Christ himself says that we are not to fear men, but we are to fear him who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. And the Word of God says here that surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. If I don't fear God, I don't have the assurance that it shall be well. But I have a promise from God here in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12. I have a promise from God. I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. And if I fear God, and if I love God, and I know what God has done and is doing and shall do for me, I can always sing, and I can always say, and I can declare, all is well. It is well with my soul. And the next verse gives the contrast, and it's a little difficult to follow this because in verse 12, the scripture says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Does that tell us that a sinner's days can be prolonged? Then in verse 13, it says, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Usually, you might consider the sinner in verse 12 as the same thing as the wicked, but that's not true. The word sinner in verse 12 is different than the wicked. You go home and study that, and you look up the word sinner in verse 12, and it's talking about someone that has sinned, but not willfully sinned. And it's not talking about someone that is just continuously, willfully walking in rebellion to God. Everybody in this building is a sinner in the way that Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12 says. There's not a person in this building, and has never been a person on this earth, that is not a sinner from the standpoint that you have committed a sin. And the scripture says here in verse 12 that though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Now, the wicked in verse 13 is talking about individuals that are intentionally and willfully walking contrary to God's word and God's way. It is well with those who do what in verse 12? It is well with those that fear God. And verse 13 makes it clear, it will not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Those that are willfully sinning, they do not fear God. And their days will not be prolonged, and it will not be well with their soul. They can claim that is well with their soul, and for a period of time, it may very well look like things are well with them. God's word declares, it shall not be well with those that are wicked and those that sin willfully. Can we do something for things to be well with our soul, according to Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12? I want you to remember that we can do things that will result in all things being well with our soul. You cannot do anything that will keep all troubles out of your life. But when you are walking close with God, and you can feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that no matter what the troubles are, you will still be able to say, it is well with my soul. There are people that are completely paralyzed. There are people in the nursing home that can't do anything. Brother Philip and I believe Brother Philip went with me to see Sister Nan Butts in Thomaston, Georgia, dear lady that was a librarian in the school system in Thomaston and a friend of ours. And Sister Nan was paralyzed from the neck down. All she could move was her eyes and her head. I'm telling you, that dear saint of God would lay there, and everybody that came in to see her, though she couldn't feed herself, she couldn't move her arms and her legs because of, I believe it was MS, regardless of what the problem was. Listen, brethren, that dear saint always declared, "It is well with my soul." Now, that was a dear sister that feared God. That was a sister that would love God. Like Job said, "Though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That takes a tremendous amount of confidence in God. To say that no matter what happens, no matter what God does, no matter what God allows, it will still be well with my soul. If you fear God, it's going to be well with your soul. And if you don't fear God, it will not be well with your soul. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 7 very quickly. Because I want you to see two or three passages of Scripture that tell us things that we can do for it to be well with our soul. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. The Word of God tells us again something that we can do that will result in it being well with our soul. In fact, in this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 7, God is speaking about the children of Israel, how God had told them that if they would obey His voice, it would be well with them. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. The Scripture says, "But this thing commanded I them," God is speaking. God says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." What does God say there? If you'll just walk in the ways I've commanded you, it will be well with you. Isn't that wonderful? That's a promise that was given to them, and it's a promise that's given to us today, that if we will walk in God's ways, it will be well with us. He says in verse 24, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Was it going to be well with them when they hardened their hearts? Was it going to be well with them when they did not hearken to the voice of the Lord? It was not going to be well. Go with me to the New Testament. I want us to think about some very practical ways in the New Testament that the Word of God tells us, things that we can do, that it will be well with our soul. Look first in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's something the Word of God tells us very plainly, and listen, I want all the children here to listen this. Every child in this building. Brother David's mother will be 90 years old this coming, or going to celebrate it this coming Saturday. Brother David honors his mother, brethren. Sister Janice just got back. Mother was 93 years old. Sister Janice honors her mother. These are people that honor their mother and their father. Everybody in this building needs to understand, if you want it to be well with your soul, you better honor your parents. It will not be well with you. In fact, if you go back and read the Old Testament, you'll find that if you do not honor your parents, first of all, the Word of God says, "He that curseth his parents shall be put to death." That was the law of God in the Old Testament. It's a grievous sin to not honor your parents. It's a terrible sin to not do what you can for your parents. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that he that provideth not for his own household is worse than an infidel. If my mother and my father, if they needed help and I wasn't there to do for them and help them and honor them by giving them everything and doing everything I could for them, if I didn't honor them by giving and doing for them, I want you to know I'm worse than an infidel. And children that do not honor their parents are worse than infidels. And it will not be well with them. It will not be well with children that do not honor their parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, gives the positive aspect here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now watch verse 3. Listen to the words carefully. After he has said, honor thy father and thy mother, he says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Doesn't this coincide with everything we've looked at in the Old Testament? That it will be well with you if you obey the commandments of God. It will be well with you, and your days will be prolonged if you obey the commandments of God. And one of the commandments, of course, you can take many commandments. But brethren, anybody that ignores the Ten Commandments, that child of God is in open rebellion to God and God's Word, and it will not be well with those individuals. And one of those Ten Commandments is, honor thy father and thy mother, and that's the first commandment with promise. And he says, if you do obey that commandment, what will the result be? It will be well for my soul. And if you don't honor your parents, it will not be well for your soul. Go with me back to Acts chapter 7 just a moment. I want you to see and to know that your body can be suffering all kinds of pain and agony, and everybody can turn against you, and you cannot have a single friend in the world other than God, and your soul can still sing, it is well with my soul. You can be completely alone, you can be alienated by everyone in the world. Everybody can forsake you. Jesus Christ had everybody to forsake him. And yet as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, he could have sung, it is well with my soul. And likewise, in Acts chapter 7, we read about Stephen. And Stephen was a great man of God, and he stood and he confronted the people to their face about the sin that was in their life. In Acts 7, beginning in verse 51, and I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I want you to go home and read Acts 7, 51 through 60. And as you read, you'll find that Stephen told the people what was wrong in their lives. He said in Acts 7, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. We've been talking last week or week before last about quenching the Spirit or resisting the Holy Ghost or grieving the Holy Ghost. Whenever we go contrary to God's Word and God's way, we are resisting the Holy Ghost and quenching the Spirit. And Stephen here in Acts 7 is speaking to people who have been resisting the Holy Ghost. And then he comes down in verse 54. The Word of God says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask you a question right now. If you had been looking at Stephen being stoned to death, if you had looked at Stephen, would you have said, all is well with Stephen? If you had been looking at Stephen, would you have looked and would you have concluded, all is well with Stephen? You would not have thought that there was any way that all could be well with him while he was being stoned to death. Brethren, I declare unto you, by the authority of God's Word, that the saints of God that are persecuted, even killed for the name of Jesus Christ, their soul is well. All is well with their soul. The Word of God says here in Acts 7:55 that while they were gnashing on him with their teeth, that he was full, verse 55 says, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, brethren, anyone who is full of the Holy Ghost, it is well with their soul. So if you looked at all the circumstances and condition of what Stephen was going through, you would think there's no way that anybody could say it is well. But I'm telling you, even more wonderful or as wonderful as that, not only was he full of the Holy Ghost, But he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Brethren, nobody has ever experienced, I don't think, anything more wonderful than what Stephen did right here. Now, you look at all the physical surroundings, and your conclusion is, that poor old soul should have kept his mouth shut. That's what many preachers would say today, is he shouldn't have said what he told those people. I'm telling you, Stephen told those people exactly what God would have him to tell them. He was telling them exactly what they needed to hear, and the judgment of God came on them because they did not repent at the words that Stephen gave them. But was it well with Stephen? Was he all right? Was it well with his soul? It was well. It was well. He could say, all is well. He was fixing to go home to be with the Lord anyway. Even if he had lived through all of that, like Paul did on occasion, when he would be beaten and they would think he was dead, here he would be alive again. And he would say, you know, I wish I could just depart and be with Christ. But Stephen right here, after the last thing he saw was the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father, and he prayed for his enemies, and then he went home to be with the Lord. All was well with Stephen. The saints of God must reach, the soldiers of Jesus Christ, the children of God must reach a point in their lives where they don't care how much or how little they have financially. They have to reach a point in their lives where it does not matter what the government says, doesn't matter what the law of the land says. It doesn't matter what even church people say. They're going to stand where God's Word says to stand. And when you reach that point in your life, that nothing and no one and nothing in this world matters, you just want to please God, then you'll never be able to have that feeling as great as Stephen did, where you can say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Can murderers, listen carefully to this question now, can murderers, someone who is actually killed someone, can it be well with their soul? Can someone who has killed someone else, can it be well with their soul? Now, I want to remind you again that when a person sins, if they do it ignorantly, it makes a major difference with God versus someone who goes out and kills willfully. There were people who put Jesus Christ to death who thought they were doing God's service. Paul thought he was killing Christians. He thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was pleasing God. Did the Apostle Paul, did he sin by killing those Christians? Was he sinning? But did God forgive him because he was ignorant of the sin he was committing? On the other hand, there are people who commit murder who they know very well what they're doing. And when an individual knows that he is killing and breaking the laws of God, when he's been taught that murder is wrong and you murder someone, God's Word says you're to be put to death for murder. In Acts chapter 2, I want you to hear what Peter says to some murderers. In Acts 2, beginning in verse 36, the Word of God says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified. You hear what he's saying to these people? You crucified Jesus. You murdered Jesus. You crucified Jesus. And God has made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I believe the response of these people who had crucified Christ is basically the same as the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus when he was stricken down and he came to the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And these individuals in Acts chapter 2, when they understood that they had truly crucified Jesus Christ, they were pricked in their heart. They realized what they had done. And I want you to imagine in your heart, if it is at all possible, I want you to imagine how you would have felt if you had participated in that crucifixion, if you had killed Jesus, and then you all of a sudden realized, this really was Jesus. This was the Messiah that I killed. How would you feel? I want you to realize the horror that filled these people's hearts and souls. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For the what? For the what? For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter to you, but you know what happened in the rest of the chapter. My question to you is, those people who had crucified Christ and were pricked in their heart and were told, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and they were baptized, could they, even those people who crucified Christ, could they now say, it is well with my soul? The amazing grace of God, that God would forgive those people who had crucified his Son. And these same people that we're reading about in Acts 2:37 that realized they had crucified Jesus, they became some of the first members of the true church of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, and they continued with gladness. With what? With gladness and singleness of heart. It was well with their soul. That's the amazing grace of God, isn't it? Sin beyond what you and I can comprehend, yet done ignorantly, can be forgiven in a moment, and God can bless your soul to feel all is well. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.